I think that's the first genuine cough I've ever done at the start of the podcast. Welcome to chapter 105 of Memoirs of a White Boy. That was the longest Memoirs of a White Guy Boy ever. Last week, I said Memoirs... Oh, no, I said it was chapter 103 when it was actually chapter 104. All right? I want to acknowledge my mistake because it was pointed out to me by many of you. And I really thank you all for pointing out that error. Sue me. Take me to court, guys. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm only human. Oh, wait. You can't take me to court because the podcast is free. There's no damages. All right? What are you going to sue me for? Wasting your time? Wasting 3 seconds of your time? Or wasting an hour of your time every week? I'm pretty sure the judge would argue that if you waited till chapter 105 to sue me, then I don't know. This is on you now. but welcome to the podcast, guys. If you're new, this is a podcast where I just talk about my life. I talk about what's going on in the world. And sadly, this week, it's been a little bit predictable, the world. Not me, necessarily. My life's been... You know, I live a very unpredictable lifestyle because I'm always, you know... look, I'll be honest. I live a pretty predictable life. That's why it's called Memoirs of a White Guy. But the world's been throwing me no curveballs this week. It's been really frustrating. And another thing is that it's raining currently, which means if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you'll know that often my mood is based on the weather. And it's a bit gloomy weather, so if it's a bit of a negative Nelly podcast today, guys, I do apologize, but blame Mother Nature, not me. So, yeah, the world's been predictable this week. Not necessarily me, but just things that have happened. And I feel like if you had have told me last week, like, you know, all these things that have happened this week in the news and stuff, I would have been like, yep, what did you think was going to happen? I should have done a prediction podcast last week where I just predicted, like, yeah, there'll probably be a massive brawl after a UFC event, because it's a room full of violent people. And people were shocked that that happened. Well, let's talk about that first, alright? If you didn't hear what happened in the UFC this week, all hell broke loose after the Conor McGregor and Khabib fight. What's his last name? Khabib Nurmagomedov? Hang on, Khabib, I'm sorry guys, look, I'm just not that into UFC, I don't really know why I'm talking about it. I'm into the drama, I'm not into the actual fighters. Khabib, I don't know how to pronounce it, it's Khabib Pugot, alright, I don't know how to pronounce it, Khabib Pugot. So, Khabib, this guy, this Russian guy who Conor McGregor was fighting, So Khabib won the fight, Conor tapped out, and as soon as the fight ended, Khabib jumped out of the octagon and started throwing like punches to some of Conor McGregor's coaching staff, just started fighting people in the crowd essentially, and everyone was like shocked. The world just went, how could this happen? How could this happen in a room filled full of people attending to watch violence? People who are already participating in violence. How could this happen? Alright? It's not surprising. It's called Ultimate Fighting Championships. I'm surprised this hasn't happened sooner. How has this been the first time that people have started full punching on, like all out brawl in the crowd at a UFC event? This is people who devote their lives to punching and kicking the shit out of each other. And all over social media, it's just complete shock and horror that this has happened. Oh no, I can't believe that this is what the sport has become. I can't believe that it's taken this long for that sport to become that. And I would say I'm a very casual UFC fan. I'm a fan of like, you know, just a fan of, I'm you know what I am? I'm a fan of, on a completely human level. And I feel like there's something in our anatomy. It may not be in everyone, but I feel like there's a caveman aspect in all of us that goes like, I don't know what it is. I just like two people of my species punching and kicking the shit out of each other. There's something ingrained in our anatomy that just says, fight! Do it for my entertainment. But I don't want to really do it myself, right? That's been evolved out of me. But there's something in me that's still like, ah, bloody good watching two people kick the shit out of each other. It's just the gladiator thing. You know, we've just evolved to the point where now we have a tap out system, where now fighters in that position can tap out before someone thrusts a dagger through their neck. And that's a great system, you know. Now when you're being choked out in an octagon, you can be like, I don't want to be choked out anymore. And there's a guy that's like, he doesn't want to be choked out anymore, who's the ref, and he breaks it up. That's where we've evolved to. Back in the day, though, in the gladiators, we were like, make them fight each other and then put a tiger in there. And, oh, wait, can they tap out if the tiger gets too close? Oh, like, I mean, yeah, death. That's tapping out. Their heart stopping, right? Their pulse stopping, them bleeding out on the ground was them going, oh, he tapped out. Well, he didn't tap out because his hands over there, right? He couldn't tap out. Because you cut off his arm 3 minutes into the fight. But I would say UFC is the closest modern equivalent we have to gladiator fighting. Because it's kicking, punching, chokeholds. It's pretty violent shit, right? And it's full on stuff. So it's not everyone's cup of tea. You know, not everyone's cup of joe. I get that. But I'm like a passive fan of it where I won't watch it religiously. But if, you know, if one of the big fights is happening, I'll pay attention. And I feel like there's two types of UFC fans. I'm like one, you know, like I'm like passive, you know, give me a beer and I'll watch two guys kick the shit out of each other and I won't be fazed. And then there's the other type of UFC fan, which is like, fucking get me out there, mate. I'll bloody give it a crack. But you're like, mate, you're 40, you're fat, and you haven't exercised in 3 years. Like, you don't. Just because you watch the sport, it doesn't mean you can participate in it to the elite level. You know what I mean? Like, the type of guys who you bump into at a nightclub, and you're like, oh, sorry, mate. And they're like, their inner Conor McGregor, just some switch. Like, they could be like a full, bogan Australian dude who's a UFC fan. Then as soon as someone bumps into him, a flick will switch inside of their brain that's like, I'm Conor McGregor now. They'll be like, who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? And they just start doing the arms. The spaghetti arms, and they're and you're like, dude, I just accidentally bumped you. Like, I'll fucking punch your head right into the canvas. Who the fuck? To be sure. Look, I don't know how to do an Irish accent, but I just, there's those guys, right? And those are the type of guy. And then there's a heightened version of that guy, which is the people who dedicate their lives to the sport. The coaches, the hardcore fans, everyone involved in like Conor McGregor's camp, or the other guy's side, right? Those are like a real heightened level. Those are people who are like, fuck, I love you. I love Ultimate Fighting. Those are those people, right? Now put them all in a room, all right? And make them divided through 3 months of hype and build up, right, to this fight. Put all these people in a room, some of them Russian, some of them Irish. Get them all fucking hating each other, right? Get them all fighting on Twitter about religion, their family. Make it personal AF. Get trainers tweeting the other team's trainers going, fuck you, he's gonna get killed, alright? And then get the main two guys to parade around for months in press conferences and all that stuff, building hype, talking shit, saying I'm gonna choke you out in front of millions of people, right? And you tell me how you're surprised that after the fight was done, they weren't done. Because I think these people forget, they're in a charged environment, there's a lot of testosterone floating around the room. These people must forget that as soon as that bell rings at the end, it becomes assault. It becomes an offense. It goes from sport to jail. Real fucking quick. And when you're in that environment of, but we were just kicking the shit out of each other 2 minutes ago and people were cheering and it was a sport and we were getting paid millions for it, to ding ding ding, someone's tapped out, split it up, that it's over. Alright? But it must be real hard to switch that off, because Khabib just jumped straight out of the octagon and started throwing punches. Then another Russian guy jumped in. One of the Russian trainers, I believe, guy in the red shirt, jumped in the octagon and king hit Conor McGregor from behind. Like, and people are like, oh, I'm surprised that this is what the sport's come to. These are some of the most violent people in the world in a room together who hate each other. It's a miracle that this hasn't happened sooner. But anyway, that wasn't very surprising, but that happened during the week. That wasn't the only thing that didn't surprise me. Okay, so that one, I was like, I shrugged. Someone told me that. I think Lewis did. We were doing the radio show. He was in Perth, right? And we were talking over the Skype. And he's like, oh, did you see what happened with that Conor McGregor? I think it was Lewis. Yeah. And did you see what happened with that shit? And I was like, yeah. And I shrugged. And I was like, yeah. No shit. That happened. Of course that happened. And then I went on news.com, as I do. You guys know, 2 weeks ago, they were getting a bit sexual on news.com. And that's often where I'll just have a giggle, some of the stories that are happening in the world. And I'll literally just go through. You tell me if you guys are surprised by these. I'll be shocked if anyone goes, huh, this is news to me. All right, I'll read out a couple of headlines for you. And no one will be surprised, okay? First one I read, staggering amount of money Ed Sheeran earns in a day. And I clicked in the article. He earns about $138,000 a day. Hang on, I'm just waiting for you guys to be shocked. None of you are. Why? Because who would have thought that it was profitable selling out stadiums and arenas every single night? Gosh, news.com. It's not even news.com. They just report things that have been released. Just the universe needs to throw me a curveball. If the universe had been like, oh, Ed Sheeran in debt, I would have been like, what? How? No way. He's been selling out arenas and stadiums. I thought that would be quite profitable. Someone's like, nah, man. He has like a crazy addiction to... It wouldn't even be heroin. Like, there's nothing that expensive. You could probably have any addiction that you want if you're Ed Sheeran. You could, like, literally afford, like, any addiction. You could be, like, probably... The only thing he couldn't afford an addiction to is, like, maybe snorting gold nuggets or, like... Maybe he couldn't afford an addiction to launching space missions out of NASA, because I'm pretty sure that will cost more than he earns in a day. But he could pretty much afford anything else, which is crazy. But again, wasn't surprising. Here's another one that wasn't surprising at all. This one was my favorite. It was Kourtney Kardashian slams Kanye West clothing, saying they suck. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Yeezy's clothing designs, but if you have full 20/20 vision, not even that, you could be partially blind and be like, oh yeah, that sucks. I'm looking it up now, okay? Kanye, I've got it up now. Kanye West clothes. I need to describe to you guys. Google it if you want. It's just, if you've never seen what Kanye West clothing label is, imagine, like, modern peasants. I know that sounds really mean, but it's like if you watch one of those post-apocalyptic teen films where everyone in the society has just got dribs and drabs of whatever clothing they can find, and they've fastened, like, clothing out of bed sheets and shit. That's honestly what it looks like, and yet he's paying, like, you can pay $3,000 for, like, a bit of cloth that covers your tits because Kanye West made it. It doesn't take Kourtney Kardashian to come out and say, these clothes suck, for those clothes to suck. So that wasn't surprising. Again, universe, give me something fresh. Give me a little thing that might shock me. I don't know, what's something that could shock me? Oh, Kanye West creates good clothes. What? Don't believe ya. No way. That would be, boom, that would rock my world. But nah, the universe has just been throwing out predictable shit this week. And to be honest, I'm over it. There's so many more. There's just stuff like, I don't know, there was one that was like, Macca's is an appalling rip-off. Oh, really? One of the biggest corporations in the world, known for being evil, are ripping people off? Well, golly gosh. The point is that, universe, next week, give me something exciting, alright? Make me think a little. Throw me one, you know, just, I don't know, guys. I'm just sick of hearing shit and going, yeah, I know. What a boring week. And I think this does reflect a bit on the weather. okay. Next topic. Guys, last week on the podcast, you may remember, I read an email from what we assume to believe could be the most senior podcast listener. There was a guy named Martin who contacted the podcast, and he was very enthusiastic. He came to my Brisbane show this year, and I think we worked out he was born in 1944, which means, I think, I'm going to have to do maths again, 56 plus 18, I think that makes him 78 years old, right? So, I reached out to him this week. I felt like I wasn't done with Martin. I felt like perhaps I felt like Martin could offer this podcast something which I cannot, which is years of experience and wisdom. And I don't want to deprive you guys of that. So, I tried to reach out to Martin this week, and I had a proposal for him to see if he wanted to become the official elder of the Memoirs of a White Guy podcast. And so I sent him an email. I said, thanks, Martin, because he replied to mine saying, thanks for the mention. I listened to the podcast, really enjoyed it. And I said, thanks, Martin. I really appreciate the support. So already I'm like, cool. Powerful start to the email, Luke. You're killing it. I said, it has come to my attention, and I hope you don't mind me saying, that I believe you are the most senior listener of the podcast, which is truly incredible, and it will be an honor if you are willing to accept the title to grant you the status of official elder of the podcast. We would be all honored to hear some occasional wisdom and advice from you. Let me know your thoughts on this matter. Cheers, Luke. Now, 2 minutes later, I got an email bounce back. Unfortunately, it was not from Martin. It was from Google Gmail's mail delivery service saying, sorry, this email has bounced back and cannot be delivered. So I tried to send it again, and I rechecked the email address, and I was like, this is weird, because I literally replied to this email last week. And now all of a sudden, his email doesn't work. So guys, we're in a situation here, which is, we have an opportunity to get wisdom out of one of the oldest cheeky muffers, probably the oldest cheeky muffer known to mankind. He's the oldest listener of the podcast that we know to date, and I only have one source of contact with him, which is this email address that has now apparently been deactivated. Now, am I surprised that a 78-year-old doesn't want to go on email anymore? Absolutely not. I'm surprised this dude had an email. My grandparents never got on the email train, and probably never will. My grandma has a mobile phone, which is pretty high tech for grandma, but that's as far as she'll go. She's not usually, sending things through the webmail. But anyway, all we know about Martin is, and I really want Martin to be the official elder of the podcast. I feel like he has so much to offer. I feel like maybe we could get some, you know, mysterious music when we read out. I just feel like, oh my God, like this podcast not having an elder for like the past 2 years has been what's off about this podcast. There's always been something slightly off about this podcast. And some people might go, oh, is it the subtle references to being white and gloating about your privilege? No. It's the fact that there was no white older male gloating about his privilege. And I feel like Martin could be the answer to that issue. And here's what we know about Martin. He came to my Brisbane show with his grandson. So, if you're the grandson of Martin, can you please reach out to me and let me know if there's any way I could ask your grandpa if he wanted to come on board as the official elder, alright? So if the grandson's listening, he's from Brisbane, and you know Martin, or if you, I don't know, I feel like now we may never be able to find him because I only have one point of contact with Martin, but I'll do my best, guys, and I guess that's where that leaves us. But I've been working hard this week with the hunt for Osh as well. Here's what I'm thinking with Osh. Obviously, by the way, before we get into Osh, we need to talk about The Bachelor. Oh, who am I? I'm such an idiot. This week, that was the only unpredictable thing that happened all week. Who am I saying this week has been predictable? We just saw the end of the best Bachelor finale of all time. And that was the most... I didn't see that coming, really. I mean... Okay, let's go. Let's backtrack to the very start of the podcast. Because I just started the podcast with 15 minutes of, oh, the universe is throwing me no curveballs. I'm sorry. The Bachelor finale happened and I completely forgot until now. Let's start again. Welcome to chapter 105 of Memoirs of a White Boy. Alright guys, let's get into it. This week has been the most unpredictable week on planet Earth. Why, you may ask, ladies and gentlemen? Because the Bachelor finale happened this week. Last week, I was talking about being in a Bachelor drought. I was disenthused. I don't know. I don't think that's a word. I was... what's the word? I just felt like something was a little off with this series because I knew that he wasn't really into the girls, which in hindsight now isn't that unpredictable that he wouldn't choose any of them. But if you didn't know what happened, right, you probably knew by now. I made a video about it, right, if you saw that. But the Honey Badger, Nick Cummins, got to the very end and he chose no one. And I've since found out since the video that it has happened once in the American season, and then they gave him a season two. But as I pointed out, I don't want to recover the same stuff. If you want to go hear my longer form thoughts about what happened, go watch the video on my channel. But it's quite ridiculous that this has never happened before. It's like the UFC event. You know, oh, bloody, I'm so shocked that there's no violence. It's like, yeah, I'm surprised that no guy has ever been like, hey, I'm just not that into these 20 girls. And that's totally fine. And I watched like the Project's interview with Nick Cummins after the show, and obviously he chose none of the girls at the end, and Australia tried to like vilify him. All these people were going out to him like, oh, what a dog, he wasted these girls' time, how could he do that? Those girls knew what they were getting into. It's a reality TV show. They have to have a finale. He has to, like, it's part of the whole thing. Like, it's part of what they agree to, which is like, you'll be probably knocked out. He's gonna go on single dates with you. Everyone knows he has to pretend to love them for the purposes of TV. And at the very end, he might have felt really strongly about the girls and just been like, look, at the end of the day, I don't want to waste any more of your time and date you for 3 months and then dump you. And I think that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I watched this interview with him on The Project, and they're interviewing the girls, and there's all this like sympathetic music playing in the background. It's this big sob story that the girls got completely heartbroken, and of course they did. But then it cuts to the interview with him, and he's just being honest. I thought what he said was spot on, and it's like evil villain music under him, like painting him as like this fucking dog for just being honest. That's bullshit. It's so bullshit. I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm saying maybe he shouldn't have been on the show for starters if he wasn't ready for a relationship yet. Or maybe he just wasn't into the girls. That's fine. If someone gives you 20 girls to be with, alright, there's a likelihood that you don't want to spend the rest of your life with one of them. Cool. It was still, and people, that was one thing that bothered me. All the fans of the show were like, oh, I feel like I've wasted my time now. Are you kidding? That was one of the best endings of all time in Bachelor history. Alright? I didn't even see that shit coming. I honestly just thought he was going to pick Britt and then go, oh, yeah, and then just dump her 3 months later. Like, that's what they all do. That's what I just thought, because I'm like, oh, it's predictable. Man, that's what I needed to get back into the franchise. I needed a spanner in the works. I needed something that even Osh didn't see coming. And that's what that was. That was the spanner in the works for me. It was unreal shit. So good on you, Honey Badger, for being honest with yourself. Maybe you shouldn't have gone on the show for starters, but hey, good on him. All right? It sucks for all parties involved. I'm sure he wasn't fucking thrilled about it. All these people are like, oh, he's such a dog. He's just used all these girls. Oh, you really think he's thrilled about that? I mean, yeah, he kissed a lot of hot girls, but he's a famous rugby player. He's probably got a queue back at home, all right? I'm sure he doesn't have to go on a reality TV show to do that. But anyway, that was pretty insane. What was I going to talk about before this? I swear I was talking about something. The Osh cut thing. So I've been thinking about ways to get Osh on. Now, obviously, it's halfway through Osh hunting season. The Bachelorette starts this week, which means the season's coming to a close. As soon as the Bachelorette finishes, the quest for Osh returns next year. Why? Because we want it's like a Mandarin. We want an in-season Osh. All right, you don't want a Osh in the off-season. He probably wants to go on vacay, wants to take a holiday. He's probably filming the next season of The Bachelor in the off-season. You know what I mean? We want an in-season Osh. So there's about 8 weeks to go to get Osh on. I've started really narrowing down some strategies. Now, I feel like a few people will probably agree with me on this, and I've got a few emails. We've come on a little too strong, perhaps. There's been a lot of social media activity contacting Osh. Maybe that wasn't the best approach. So I've got some other ways, and you guys have been suggesting ways. These are the ways that we've already gone over on the podcast. It's just a refresher. The most popular one was threaten an Osh with a Kosh, which was threaten Osha that we'll get David Kosh on the podcast from Sunrise, and him and the cash cow become the new heroes of the podcast. Now, those two words together in a sentence, threaten Osh, don't gel with me. It's just certain two words in life that shouldn't go together, like genocide and yay, or, like kebab and good sportsmanship. Oh, that's three words. But you know what I mean? There's certain things that don't go well together, like the honey badger and commitment. They just don't gel. And threaten and Osh? I don't like the sound of that. Because I got nothing but respect for Osh, okay? And there's threatening Osh with a Kosh. I feel like that would be a power move for sure. But maybe tease Osh with a Kosh. Or like, I just don't like threatening Osh. So maybe we'll skip that one. This one came in from a guy named Jaden. Thank you, Jaden. You should save Osh's life. That way, he will owe you one favor. That's pretty good. But how do we save a life? Alright? How do we... We should ask the Frey how to save a life. That's such a dumb joke. Hang on. Let's ask the Frey. How do we save an art? These guys know. Maybe... What do they do? You could... What do we do? Like, the problem with this is it almost comes off as threatening, because it's like, unless we organically save Osh's life, how are we gonna that means we have to put Osh in a life-threatening situation, which is, again, threaten and Osh in the same sentence. I don't want that. How are we gonna organically save Osh's life? Like, unless we put him in a life-threatening situation, then we whisk him out of there and go, oh, bit of saved your life, and then, you know, he just, and then the Frey just come in somewhere alone in the bed, and we just save his life. And I don't know how to save Osh's life, and then we just like do a parody of that. I mean, it's good content, but I just, again, it involves threatening Osh. So thanks, Jaden. Maybe we should say, yeah, I do agree. Maybe there's another way to get Osh owing us a favor. Maybe we don't necessarily have to save his life. Perhaps we could do Osh a favor. What's a favor we could do Osher Ginsburg? I mean, what? What doesn't he have? What do you give the man that has it all? The man that has the perfect cut, the charisma, the reality TV show hosting skills. What do you give that guy? A pat on the back? Man, that'd be his life every goddamn day. He would hear, on the house, Osh, don't worry about it, so many times. Because he deserves it. What do you give the man that has it all? I guess that's something you'll have to work through during the week. I asked your guys' help in the Facebook group, and I'll just get onto that now. A few suggestions, and I'll be honest, a lot of threats being thrown out there, which I don't like, guys. But I said, hey guys, anyway, you might have seen my post in the Memoirs of a White Guy Facebook group. If you're not part of the Facebook group, go join that shit. It's a lot of fun. You can vote on stuff, get involved with the podcast. So the top comment was of ways to get Osh on was, I should apply for the next season of The Bachelorette and get on the show just to record the podcast with Osh in his natural habitat. That's really genius, but I feel like I've missed... The Bachelorette starts on Wednesday, and I feel like I've missed that for this season. Maybe I could do that in the off-season. So that was Nick's suggestion. Then Lachlan's come in with, or apply to be the next Bachelor and spend time with Osh for 8 weeks. Wow. I don't think I have what it takes for the next Bachelor, and I'm also taken. So... No, but I feel like that would be a good situation because then I could spring the podcast on him with like 7 weeks in, me and Osh have already bonded, then go, hey, do you want to come on and do my podcast? And he's like, man, I feel like he'd be like, you just did this to get me on the podcast. I feel like that's kind of psychopathic behavior. A few other ones I enjoyed. Mia suggested, if all else fails, I guess we could tell him we're in a suicide pact. Seems extreme. Seems a little bit extreme. Maybe not, Mia. This one's from Gabe. Steal producer James's phone and call Osh and set up over the phone so he can't deny it. That is true. I know probably maybe 10 people that have Osh's number. And... including one of my closest friends, James, who produces our radio show, has his number in his phone. The problem with that is, it's weird to say, but with celebrities or known people in the media, is a better way to put it, people give out their number in confidence. You know what I mean? I've got some people who are in the media and stuff. I have their phone number, but I wouldn't ever give it to someone because then I feel like it's a breach of that person gave you their number in confidence. And unless Osha gives me his number, then I feel like that's not the best way of going about it either. Again, when we want Osh on the podcast, we want a relaxed Osh. You know what I mean? We want an Osh that his presence is, he feels welcomed. You know, you don't want an Osh that feels invaded. There's nothing I would want more than an invaded Osh. People want a natural Osh. Another suggestion was, start an elite barbershop that offers the finest fades in the land. Eventually, curiosity will overcome Osher and he will wander in. As you're giving him that fine fade, set up the recording equipment and record the podcast. So, yeah, maybe. that actually seems foolproof, to be honest. And then we have another suggestion in the comment section from... Patrick that says we should crowdfund our Osh barbershop, and then some people saying Lewis could help because Lewis is known to crowdfund things. Then someone said Osh cuts don't scare me, which was a good reference to Lewis's comedy special Death Rents Don't Scare Me. We all had a laugh. Another one, this one was very violent, from Hamish. We kidnap him and we say we won't let him go until he takes part of this White Privilege podcast. That's the worst suggestion so far. Alright, that's worse than threatening him. We can't kidnap Osh. You guys need to learn some fucking respect, alright? Finn said, threaten to shave Osh's hair if he doesn't come on. What's with all the threats? I thought you guys liked Osher, alright? I thought we all had respect for Osher. What's this become? Alright, what is it? This is... Maybe we need to take some time off the hunt for Osh. If all you guys want to do is threaten him, alright, you're taking the wrong approach. Do we need to ice out Osh? Is that what we need to do? Freeze him out. Alright, and then he'll maybe want to come on. Because currently, there's been a lot of suggestions thrown in the hat, and I'll be honest, 50% of them, I will have none of it. Kidnap Osh. Shave his hair. Shaving his hair is worse than kidnapping. As someone with an Osh cut, I can say firsthand that's one of the worst things you can do to another human being. That's cold-blooded. Alright? If you thought King hitting Conor McGregor after the fight was bad sportsmanship, you shave a guy with an Osh cut. Alright? That's next-level torture. That's like Guantanamo Bay shit. You know, like they play Justin Bieber songs on repeat, give them an Osh cut, and then fucking take it away from people. That's how you break a man. That is how you... That makes me squirm just thinking about it. If someone took a shaver to my head right now, I would be in all sorts. I'd have to have therapy for months going like I had it all. I felt what it was like to be him, and then someone took it away from me with a number 3 bzzz, right through the middle. No man deserves to do that. Lewis actually came in with a suggestion. Start up a drive-through bikini Osh wash. Eventually, when Osher needs a shower while driving, he will realize this is the perfect place to do it. While he's distracted by the women in bikinis giving his hair a wash, you burst in and interview a stunned yet sparkling clean Osh. Flawless. Great suggestion, Lewis. My only problems with it is Osha, as we all know, is a very happily married man, which means that I don't know if he would be as distracted by the women in bikinis. I feel like maybe we need a... What's something that Osh is known to like? He likes long walks on the beach. Perhaps we can make a drive-through long walk on the beach Osh wash. Maybe we need to entice him with something a little more Osh. You know, I don't think... bikini, but yeah, it was a good suggestion. A non-violent solution, this is another one from Finn, could be start a cult worshipping him. Mate, are you listening to the podcast? What, this is exactly what this podcast is. I've been talking about Osh for about 10 minutes now. Those are some of the suggestions. Let's work through them on the week. If you have any more, the ones I'm liking are starting an elite barbershop. I don't mind bikini Osh wash. Don't want to do threaten Osh with a kosh. The one I like the most is maybe not saving Osh's life, but maybe getting Osh to owe us a favor. It's slight manipulation, but it's cheeky. And I think it could be swept under the rug and it could go down quite well for us. So let's try and... I'm going to work on that during the week. Something that Osh owes us a favour. I mean, he already kind of owes us a favour. He did deny being on the... Well, he didn't... That's the thing. His manager owes us a favour. He doesn't. But anyway, let's do questions. That's how we're going with the hunt for Osh. And yeah, let's do this. Okay, this is like not really a question. I don't think it's a question. This is just one of the funniest bits of correspondence I've ever gotten on the podcast. So, a few weeks ago, you may have heard that I was talking about how Fortnite just isn't cool anymore. Like things like that. It's not necessarily Fortnite. Just, like, trends and stuff aren't cool when 40-year-old people start trying to embrace them. I saw a clip of Jimmy Fallon trying to do Fortnite dance moves, and I went, oh, that's over now. It's done. As soon as your dad starts going, hey, mate, bloody, what's going on in Fortnite? That trend's over, right? As soon as like, the project starts going, fidget spinners, what's that about? It's done. Move on to the next one. That's when you know it's done. And this email is regarding that. Hi, Luke. Please keep me anonymous. I'll call you Jeff. So Jeff said, at our school recently, our teachers thought it would be a great idea to let the year 7s run a school-wide Fortnite dance competition. already this is the best correspondence ever, because I love it that the teachers were like, what will get the kids wanting to come to school? What about we run a school-wide Fortnite dance competitions? Now, I'm not that into Fortnite, but what I understand is their Fortnite dances are like the celebratory dances that the characters do. I've never actually played the game, so sue me for being ignorant and towards... it's just whatever. I'm sorry for my lack of Fortnite knowledge, but this is so good. So once this was announced at assembly, the entire school groaned. And the teachers, of course they did. Because everyone knows, as soon as someone over 40 is going, hey kids, want to do a Fortnite dance challenge while wearing sideways caps and spinning fidget spinners? Or we could do a Harlem Shake. Hey kids, want to do a mannequin challenge? You're just like, shut up. This is not your... You're ruining it, alright? That's how everything gets ruined, is by middle-aged people. So the entire school groaned, and the teachers proceeded to tell us that... So the teachers then tried to... This is what I'm reading. The teachers then tried... They backpedaled and went, oh, fuck. No one wants to do a Fortnite dance challenge. Let's backpedal here and give them an incentive. So then the teachers go, for even entering, you get a free Zupa Dupa, and for winning, you get a $20 iTunes card. Man, switch those prizes around. Alright, I'd rather a Zupa Dupa than a $20 iTunes card any day of the week. Because anything on iTunes, you can just download that shit for free. Have you heard of Netflix? Have you heard of Spotify? Right? Who's like, oh fuck yeah, iTunes gift card? I remember like I used to get them as gifts and I'd be like, what am I gonna spend this on? I'm pretty sure I bought like games that I never played. I bought like Call of Duty on my PC that I played like twice, and I was like, why did I buy Grand Theft Auto and Need for Speed? Because there's nothing on iTunes that you can't download for free. Anyway, so they've... I hate as well that the teachers thought Zupa Dupas weren't as good as an... Like, give me Zupa Dupa any day. For sure. I'd enter that challenge just for the Zupa Dupa. On the day of the Fortnite dance competition, 3 people entered out of the entire school. And one of the losing contestants threw a plastic chair at the teacher that suggested this competition in the first place. Another unrelated Fortnite incident is when I'm on the bus to school in the mornings, this year 7 kid plays Fortnite on his phone. When he loses, he screams as loud as he can, throws his phone down on the aisle of the bus, sits in the very first seat, and bites people who take it. What the fuck? Anyway, this happens every day. I love you, Oshkut. Looks great, man. What is wrong with the world? What have kids become? I'm so glad I don't go to school currently. I'm so glad that part of my life is over. No wonder I get emails all the time going, I fucking hate school. It's because there's people biting people on the bus because they lose Fortnite. I want to fucking leave planet Earth, let alone school. What are we doing? Teachers running Fortnite dance comp... Just teach maths, please. Just teach maths and English. Oh, let's run a Fortnite dance competition. Nah. Teach me about humanities. Because that's better. I'd fucking rather learn about the French Revolution than participate in your Zupa Dupa filth. Alright, that should be an incentive. It should be like, do an essay, get a Zupa Dupa. Man, I would have done every essay. I would have done extracurricular assignments if they were throwing out Zupa Dupas. But you gotta give me more than an iTunes gift card to make me parade around doing a fucking Fortnite dance competition. The point is, guys, that it's over now, alright? Fortnite's over. This school has tried to run a Fortnite dance competition. It's no longer cool. alright? I was never into it, but for those who are, hang up the boots, alright? It's not cool, it's done. Guys, that is the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you guys next week. I hope you guys had an awesome week. Next week, I do want to talk about my tour a little bit, the way that's shaping up for next year. I'm making some new kind of moves in the tour game, which is exciting, and I'm super pumped about it. This week, I'm trying to come up with my show name for this year's tour, and I've got a few ideas, but I'm not sure where I'm going to sit yet with it. But yeah, I'll keep you guys updated on that. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, also, before I go, I want to thank you all. If you didn't see this week, I actually hit 50k subscribers on YouTube, which is, I guess, a pretty cool milestone. It's just a number, but it shows, for me, it's more than a number. It shows that there's a lot of people now who are interested in what I'm doing, which is really cool, and I hope that new people who have come onto YouTube may be listening to this. So welcome to the fam, all right? It's great to have you on board. I'm going to be putting out heaps more stuff on YouTube soon, and yeah, let's keep building this, and let's get to 100k. So I just want to thank you all, because you guys are the core group that keeps me going with all this stuff, the podcast listeners. So if it wasn't for you guys, I probably would have quit by now. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.